This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're pleased to welcome former Texas Longhorn football player, former Seattle Seahawk, and former Green Beret, Nate Boyer, who you'll see on a lot of TV interviews, does a lot of podcasts, radio interviews, of course, and has been a regular here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Nate joining us from Los Angeles. And Nate, it's great to have you. We're seeing, as sports return, more and more people kneel or do some other type of protesting during the national anthem. And because of your role with Colin Kaepernick and asking him to kneel several years ago, you're on the front lines of this conversation. You're asked about it a lot. So as you see basketball players, hockey players, baseball players, even soccer, NASCAR as well, other athletes who are kneeling during the anthem, what is your reaction?
I mean, it's not like a new thing. It's like, now it's like very comfortable to do where it wasn't as comfortable before. And now it's like, we're getting to a dangerous area where it's like, if you stand, that scene is like bad. I don't know. I think it's ridiculous that we're just so focused on the gestures, and like that's like the most important thing. It's not the most important thing to me. You know, I think freedom of speech is absolutely important, but I also don't ever want anybody doing anything out of obligation. And that's where I'm getting a little bit nervous. It's like turning into a bit of that. And it's like, if you stand, it means you don't think, you know, Black Lives Matter, and if you kneel, it means you think all cops are bad and we should abolish the police and all this stuff. And it's like, most of those people don't believe those things, and so I'm afraid that that's, you know, the optics of that are what it's turning into, and that's dangerous in some ways. So, you know, that being said, I think it's been really cool to see how a lot of athletes have sort of united around change and committed to, you know, to doing something. But there's no doubt it's a more comfortable time than it was 4 years ago or even 4 months ago.
When it was Colin Kaepernick, and he was not the only one, but he was one of the only ones.
Yeah, just before George Floyd's murder, you know,
sure.
That changed a lot of things.
It did.
So.
What type of conversations are you having? Because people have you on their TV shows, their radio shows. I see you do podcasts. So what types of conversations are you having around the climate in our country right now?
Same type of thing I'm talking to you about. I mean, that's the message I keep pushing, is this, we got to get away from this binary like stuff. And a part of the big problem with that, and I know this isn't a political show, but it's a two-party system, is not healthy. It's not healthy. This idea that it's like, it got to be left or right, blue or red, one way or the other. And you can't like believe some of each thing. Like, you have to pick a team and be all these things or be all those things. That's just like so un-American to me. And it takes away from the individual thought. And it takes away from listening and understanding and trying to empathize with somebody else, because you make judgments about them based on the team they support or whatever. And it's just not, we're not going to ever get this thing turned around and fixed if we continue to go down this path of the two-party system, because it's making the whole country binary and divided. And it's like, even when it comes down to television networks, it's like, are they a left or a right network? Like, come on. So it's endless, and it's got to stop. It's got to change. It's got to be a dramatic change. I don't know how we do it. I'm trying to figure it out, though.
And yet it feels like if we really got down to it in terms of numbers, there'd be far more people in the middle than extreme
for sure.
Right or
that's,
extreme left.
That's the irony of it. Like, when you ask people and talk to them, That's how they feel, but that's not the choices you have. You know what I mean? It's not the choices you get. I mean, look at the election. You know, it's not, you don't get to choose that. It's like you're choosing. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody that's running for office at every level and every government across the country is, you know, extreme at all. But like, it feels like you have to, it feels like those people have to sort of drift pretty far to a side or the other side to get any kind of a groundswell. And as ugly as those terms sounds, a fan base so that they can win an election. I think that's a really dangerous place to be. Mm.
Do you think it's working? All these conversations, as you talk about, it's really prevalent now. It's actually more popular maybe to protest during the anthem than to not. You have to explain yourself if you don't. Do you think these gestures are working and are making a difference?
Well, what's the desired outcome, I guess? I guess that would be the only way to see if they're necessarily working. I think, what happened in the streets across the country after George Floyd works better than anything, probably, because it was so visible to everyone, whether you watch sports or not. And you immediately saw specific changes occurring, you know, around the situation in Minneapolis and then other situations around the country with officer-involved shootings, like where in the past it would appear that often those officers would be more protected, and in this case they were held more accountable. And so I think that definitely worked. And I think, I think it's important for athletes to continue to voice this stuff, because I think without a Colin Kaepernick situation, I don't know if that happens. I don't know if that happens. After the George Floyd murder, I don't know if we see that outcry in the streets from people if we don't have Colin 4 years ago do that. But at the same time, when it turns into the situation where every business, sports related or not, every company in the country is like releasing these statements saying how they're committed to not being racist. And I'm like, were you not before? You know? So it's like, this is all coming out now. And it's like, I get it, because you feel like you have to. You feel like you have to make this statement, or people are going to, raise an eyebrow at you. And that's weird. We shouldn't have to. Like, that should be a given.
Right.
You know what I mean? You should have to make those statements. When you are doing wrong, and a lot of those statements are made, but when you look at the structure of a lot of those companies, not that they are overtly, racist in any way, but it's like there's not necessarily a level of equity amongst, the executives in a lot of these bigger businesses too. So it's like, well, you're saying this, but, and I hear what you're saying, but like, I don't really see it. So why say it? You know what I mean? And I don't know. I think I'm just kind of in a mood right now, so I feel like I'm going off on everybody. But we're very sensitive as a nation right now.
Oh, yes.
And at the same time, we're in the middle of this cancel culture thing. That's just, it's a dangerous thing to do as well. And I just don't want to live in an eggshell country. That's not sound fun to me. You know, I like trampling things and, skipping through fields of eggshells. And, I don't want to head that way. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, whether they agree with me, on political issues or not.
Mm.
That's what I love about a locker room in sports. That's what I love about it in the military, is like, man, we give each other crap no matter what, and we take it and we dish it back. And at the end of the day, we like put all our differences aside and work together and trust one another. We take a bullet for one another if we're in the military, and we'd be willing to take a hit for one another on a football field or whatever, to be successful. And like, I just don't feel like, talking about the country being representative things, I don't feel like the country feels that way right now. I don't feel that's being represented necessarily across the board.
I don't know that we could ever have a goal of utopian perfection because that's not possible.
No
but
doubt.
I guess if the goal is accountability, which I think is possible at whatever level we're talking about, whatever industry.
Absolutely.
And also conversation. So I guess to me, those feel like some pretty lofty goals, even though they seem simplistic. But maybe if there's more of that going on, then we're getting somewhere. Nate Boyer is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We are going to talk about football, I promise, because I have a couple of football questions I want to throw at you. And I know this is not your branch of the military, but I appreciate your opinions and I trust your judgment. And I'm sure you've heard about the Navy SEAL Museum incident where there were dogs that were set to attack someone who was wearing a Colin Kaepernick shirt. So as you have these conversations, even within your own circles, a lot of different vets, you do work to help vets. Do you feel like it's still a hot button topic as well among veterans when it comes to anthem protests and potentially disrespecting the flag?
I mean, it depends on who you talk to. We're as diverse as they come, the veteran community, and there's not one opinion or general sort of consensus across the board with that. There's certainly a lot of people that are, you know, feel disrespected by it, upset by it, and they're not all veterans. But, you know, and there's a lot of people in the veteran community that are like, kind of like me in the sense of like, I wish people felt the same way I did when the anthems played, but if they don't, like, all right, that's their right. And you know, to protest. And also like, what can I do to fix things so that they do feel that way? How can I help? Like, how can I help you? Seriously. You know, versus like, oh, you don't understand how good you have it and blah, blah, blah. Cause I mean, this is a great place. It is a great country, but like, we always talk about American exceptionalism. If we're not always striving for that, then how can we be that? How can we be exceptional? Just good enough is not good enough for me, and it's not good enough for anything that I work on. You know, I want to be the best, and we should always be working towards that. And then there's a percentage of there's a lot of veterans too that are fully in support of that protest. There's a lot of veterans that are, you know, liberal and like that. There just is. Mm-hmm. We're a mixed bag,
sure.
You know. And I don't know what the percentages are. What, you know. Maybe as a whole, in those head, they skew more conservative. I honestly don't know. I mean, probably. But that doesn't really matter. The point is, like, we all have our own individual feelings about this. And there's plenty of people that didn't serve a damn day that seem to think that they know what we all feel and what disrespects us and what upsets us and whatever. And they don't, you know. It doesn't matter what side of the debates and topics they're on. They don't know what everybody feels, and they group us and stereotype us just like everything else, and that's frustrating. So, you know, I understand from our standpoint, like, why people are hurt more that may be served, you know, because those symbols are very special, and they're very special to me. You know, I've carried caskets draped in that flag, and you know, when the anthem's played, I get emotional sometimes, and it really does mean a lot to me. And it, you know, it's annoying to me when people, when it's played and people aren't paying attention, or they're talking, or they're booing when somebody's kneeling, much more than, you know, the person that's taking a knee themselves. If they're still paying respects and spending that moment to say like, yeah, I'm maybe honoring the hope of America, of what it can be. The possibility and what it maybe should be by taking this knee versus standing. I respect that a hell of a lot more than, you know, the guy in line getting a beer that, oh, he's going to stop and, you know, take his hat off. But all he really wants to do is get his beer. He doesn't really care. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Nate Boyer is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. And you mentioned football and kind of compare it to the military experience, at least in terms of your relationships and your conversations, and then football too. And those are happening a lot right now. And then you throw the virus into all of this, and the fact that we're talking about the types of health and safety protocols that we've never seen before, that even are necessary just to get football to training camp, forget actually keep it on the field. And every athlete is having to go through that as well. If you were still playing football, say you're still with the Seahawks or even at Texas, and you had the option of opting out, Nate, what types of factors would you be considering? Because we're seeing it more and more in football.
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably depends on some of those players, maybe their financial position or their sheer like love of the game or like family dynamics. You know, there's so many different factors that come into it. this isn't like, I'm not saying people should do this, but if it was me, I would probably just play no matter what, because I just love the game so much. I never made any money real money anyway, to play it. There's some people that just, everybody's at a different stage in their life, and maybe some of those guys were kind of considering stepping away from the game anyway. And this was just another reason to, be like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to potentially bring this home with me. I don't want to play without fans. Who knows? Like, a lot of, there can be various reasons there. And I respect those decisions. Of course, it's going to tick fans off or whatever, because it's like, whether it's their fantasy team or their real team or whatever. But that's everybody's decision. And we're seeing that across the board in different, in all sports. There's plenty of guys in the league. Some of them are big, bigger contributors, and some of them are more role players that are just kind of taking stepping away from it for at least the season. And I totally respect that. That's their call. People shouldn't be upset about that. There's plenty of people in the workforce around the country for various reasons that are just like changing the way they're going to work and changing, probably changing professions and whatnot. And I mean, they're not meat puppets. They are, human beings that have their various reasons and feelings. And that's totally up to them. There's no guarantee that some of those guys will come back and have a job.
Right,
and that's something
right.
they're willing to give up. I mean, I would think they should understand that, unless you are, one of the best at your position. It's probably tough to take that year off and come back in if you're fighting for your job every year, but you never know. Maybe some of those guys have, boo-boos they need to heal up too. And they don't want to disclose that, there's just a plethora of different reasons. But I mean, I respect that decision 100%, even when it's the guys on my team that I really wish would play, because I want to see my team win. It's just a different year. This is a very different year than we've experienced.
I feel like people who know your story recognize the types of hoops you jump through to play football. So they would know your decision would be to play football,
yeah,
regardless
I'd be
of
like,
the risk.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you take the year off too? And so I have a better chance of making the team here. That would be me.
We're spending a few more minutes with Nate Boyer, who played at Texas. Nate, that is a hotbed for football, both college and pro, as well as high school, actually. Can you imagine the Big 12 or that part of the country without football in the fall?
I can imagine that more than I can imagine it without fans, to be completely honest. I want to see it without fans, but it's hard to envision. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever watch a spring game on TV or, a practice that's being, shown on the Longhorn Network or the Pac-12 Network or whatever it is, it's like, it's very quiet. It's very weird. It's like a little bit different than baseball and basketball, I think, in a sense, especially college, but pro too, where it's like, it's pretty loud all the time in a football stadium. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to picture. And like, to see a big play and like a big hit. And I guess they'll pipe in the sound with through the speakers or however they're going to do it. I'm sure that's all set up kind of like they're doing with baseball, which it seems like it's working pretty good. I'm watching baseball and basketball. I'm entertained right now. I mean, I'd love to see the fans, but it's still a good product, I think. So hopefully football can maintain that or keep up with that in some way. But yeah, it would be weird, especially down in Texas, just to not have football. I think of all those small towns beyond college football, with the high school football, those small towns that that town empties out because there's like 20,000 people in a high school stadium watching the game, and there's nowhere to be seen in the downtown of these small towns on Friday nights. That'll be kind of weird for them to not have that. They've had it forever. So I hope they find a way. We're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it helps that baseball and basketball, at least thus far, and golf and hockey are persevering and, it's happening. And I was hearing whispers week one when they started playing that golf tournament that, like, they were going to cancel the whole season because they had a couple of the caddies and, you know, a player or two test positive. And I was like hearing it through the grapevine of some trusted sources. And I was like, oh man, if golf does that, every other sport's just going to pull the plug. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Golf, the most socially distant sport you can think of. and they didn't. And then, you know, and then baseball came and then basketball and hockey. And so I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that, people keep trying to do the right thing, even if it's annoying and you think it's stupid to wear a mask. Just do it. Suck it up for a little while. You'll be all right. We get told plenty of dumb things in the military that we don't agree with, and we just got to do them. And sometimes, you know, we look back on it later and we're like, okay, yeah, I guess that made sense. You know what I mean? In the moment, sometimes you just don't see that, but I think that's important. Like, we can suck it up a little bit for each other right now.
Well, if it means, yes, if it means getting football, we can absolutely suck it up because we're a nation of football fans,
to be sure. Exactly. I mean, think of it that way. If you don't wear a mask, there's no football. How about that? That will put a mask on your damn face.
Exactly.
You can even write on your mask, I think this is dumb, but just wear it.
But this is how we get football. Exactly.
Exactly.
So as someone who experienced the 12s, though, you think it would be better than, you like the piped in crowd noise because at least there's noise, even if it's not authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than nothing. I mean, if it's just crickets in there, seriously, have you ever watched like when they have like college practices or, you know, something like that on TV, and it's like they've got the plays going and, you know, you hear a whistle, and it's just weird though. It's very weird without the crowd noise, at least some kind of fake noise. I don't know. Maybe they should just have a DJ at every stadium, like just playing mashups and doing something like they're going to have to like try to match. That would be the part of their task, to try to match the mood of the game. And like, you know, that'd be fun. I don't know. But we got to have something. You got to have something audio, you know. If it's just quiet, I mean, you might as well watch it on mute, I guess, and just play music or something. But,
well, but I've heard players say that they don't want it to be quiet either, because for them, it's part of the, not only the atmosphere, but the adrenaline. And so it would be difficult for them to have the same, the same attitude, the same approach if there was no noise whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, most athletes prefer that.
It could be unfair where, like, the home team PA system is just blaring, you know, like, horrible sounds when the visiting team's out there, and so they can't get the calls in, or that's just like, it's just demoralizing. And then on the reverse, it's just the most, you know, perfect pump up music and or whatever it is for the offense when the home team's on the field. So like, they could do that. I'm sure there's rules against that they're already doing. I don't know. Like I said, they're doing it in baseball, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Someone hits a home run, you hear the crowd, even though it's a digital crowd, like, it still sounds like it. I mean, that's cool.
That's true. The things we can do with technology these days is pretty amazing. All right, so before I let you go, you've transitioned into film. You do a lot of production, and you've been not just acting, but also kind of behind the scenes. So what's it been like for you this spring and summer with the challenges that are presented by the virus?
Well, I'm hustling on all fronts. I produced my first feature film in January called The Secret of Cinchini, and we are in post-production now. It's a thriller set in Western Massachusetts. And then I'm actually going to be directing a movie coming up in the next month or two here about MVP, about Merging Vets and Players, the charity I founded with Jay Glazer. We bring together combat vets and former professional athletes and help them find purpose when the uniform comes off. It's a story about a veteran down on his luck living in Hollywood, in and out of some transitional housing with a bunch of other veterans, and a former NFL player his first year out of the league who just feels lost, like he's lost his identity. And he doesn't know how to take that next step in life, like so many of us feel, both in the military and sports. And he's still got a lot of life to live. And these guys meet each other and they help each other through struggles, you know, and ultimately save each other. So, it's a pretty cool story. It's based on all the real stuff that we've encountered, the real stories we've heard, real people we've met at MVP through MVP over the last 5 years. And, I mean, we've had to adapt a ton just with the charity itself and doing our workouts in the gym, and being face to face to doing everything via Zoom, but we made it happen and we're able to touch more people, reach out to more people across the nation that we weren't able to connect with before because of COVID. So, you know, there's all, you got to find the opportunities and all these obstacles every time they arise. And that's what we're doing with MVP. That's what I'm trying to do with the film and TV stuff, right? Just like we were talking about earlier, this is my time. You know, everybody else is taking a step out. They're taking the season off of making movies now. So I'm going to step in and like fill that role.
Mm. It's always great to catch up with Nate Boyer. You can find a lot more about Vets and Players, as well as find his website address on Twitter at NateBoyer37. Thanks for making time for us. Good to talk to you.
You too, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.